Navigating Solo is the official Singles Adult Ministry podcast of the United Pentecostal Church International. Navigating Solo is dedicated to encouraging single adults in every stage of life by using biblical principles to navigate discussion on various topics. Here's your host, Dr. Lorraine Orozco.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Navigating Solo. This is our third episode of season two. And I am so glad to have my friend McKenna Landers joining us today. She has an incredible testimony, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear that. Thank you so much, McKenna, for joining us today.
Yes, thank you for inviting me. It's quite the honor.
Well, I wanted to just jump right in, and I wanted everybody to know a little bit about you before we start talking about some of your journey and your testimony. But I wanted you to just to share some things about yourself, where you're from, your work, your family, even something unique about yourself that maybe nobody might think about, some of the hobbies or things that you enjoy doing. But let's start off where you're from originally and where you are now.
Okay. I am originally from Dexter, Missouri. It's the southeast corner of Missouri, but 2 years ago, God opened up the door for me to move to Poplar Bluff, where I'm able to work and homeschool my boys, and then also to be able to work in the community that I attend church in. So I feel like I can make a bigger impact being just thrown right into the community and able to see people weekly. And, you know, it's just a lot better opportunity being here.
Okay. And tell us about your work. Is that something that I know that you enjoy doing, your job? Tell us what you do.
Okay. I have been self-employed for 12 years. I started out as a massage therapist. And then 3 years ago, I started really wanting to focus on more holistic health and immune health. And so I started doing a therapy called electrolymphatic therapy. And then most recently, I have added in a bioresonance frequency type therapy that is so amazing, which we don't have time to go into all that, but it's fascinating.
It sounds amazing and sounds like something that would just make you feel just so good, just so comfortable and so good and health-wise, has great health benefits to that. So that's very awesome. So I wanted you to talk to me about your boys, because you talked about how that you wanted to be close to them and that worked out with the city that you're in. Tell me about them and even just a little bit about how you guys became a family.
Okay. So I have two boys. One just turned 8 and one will be 10 in November. Their names are Baron and Bowen. They go by Bear and Bow for short. Mm-hmm. And I did adopt them. That was a process. One day I was working with a client. This was after my divorce. As silly as it sounds, I feel like I have a lot of love to give. And so I thought it was a shame that nobody was getting my love in. So I was talking to a client and I was saying, I would love to do foster care, but I don't think that the state of Missouri will let you do that as a single parent. Mm-hmm. And she popped up on my table and she said, absolutely they will. She said, my daughter is single and she's got foster kids in her home. And I said, oh, okay. She said, all you need to do is just call to the children's division and they'll tell you everything you need to do. And I said, okay, that's cool. So that was a Thursday. On Friday, I got a phone call from the Missouri Children's Division. Mm-hmm. They said, we heard you're interested in doing foster care. And I said, yes, I am. Tell me a little more about it. And they said, well, you have to take these 9 weeks of classes to prepare you for that. And we would love for you to join in our next round of classes. And I said, oh, okay. So when's that? And they said, Monday. I said, well, praise God, let's do it. So when I get an idea or when something, lost my earbud. When something pops in, that's definitely like a God thing. It just like all the doors open. You just rush right in and we get right into it. I went to my first class on a Monday night. It was a 3-hour class. And by Wednesday, I had my first foster kid.
Wow.
Because they did what they called a kinship placement. They had me meet this little 7-year-old boy at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And I met him on a Tuesday and he moved in with me on a Wednesday. And that was in February. And then in May, I got Baron. He was 5 months old and I had him. I ended up having a total of about 14 kids over 4 years. But because I had I had Bear, eventually when his brother was born, I got him as a kinship placement as well, and because I already had the sibling. And there was a lot of ups and downs with that. Very difficult time during the adoption, mostly because they give the parent an unreasonable amount of time to do right, and sometimes they still can't do right, but they give you all that time, and then they'll do one little thing at the 6 month mark, and then it starts your process all over. So it was a lot. Ended up getting the brother, and then got them both adopted after the 3 year process, and then ended up also getting their sister. I got her, so I got Bear at 5 months old, Bowen at 2 weeks old, and their sister I picked up from the hospital at 2 days old. So I had three and under for 6 months, and it was exhilarating. I know most people are like, oh, I'm so exhausted, I'm all these things. I was tired, but I absolutely loved it. Being a mom is something I have wanted to be forever. While I was married, I had a miscarriage, so that opportunity was no longer. And then after my divorce, the opportunity was no longer until, the option of foster. I didn't go into fostering hoping to adopt. That never even crossed my mind. But as I fell in love with these little kids, I was like, oh, you're going to be mine. In Jesus' name, you're going to be mine. And so I had the little girl for 6 months and then was starting the adoption process for her, and they ended up locating a father. And so she went to live with him. And then after that, I realized that it was really difficult on my boys to go through having their sister and then having their sister live somewhere else when their family was here. And so I decided it was best for me and my boys to just stop fostering at that point and let us live our life as a family.
I did not know that you had your boys at such a young age. So they have literally grown up with you and you are their mom. And I
I
think
am. They don't know any different. I
you are.
mean, obviously they know they're adopted. We talk about it, and when they have questions, I don't try to keep anything from them. I mean, they don't look just like me, so there are questions. And so it's not a hush hush thing for us. I'm open with them, and we have hard questions sometimes, but I answer them in a way that's not bashing biological parents. Just trying to help them understand.
And I've seen pictures of your boys. I've not met them, but they are adorable. And you talked about, they don't look like you, but there is another element to that because your kids are biracial. And so they have grown up in a biracial home. And what has that been like for you? Have there been some challenges? Have there, you said you're really so open about talking to them about the hard things.
I was really nervous at first because when I first got them, I lived in Dexter. Dexter is predominantly white. There's not a lot of diversity there. And I was like, oh God. So my boys came from a town that was a little over an hour away. And so I was like, will they be okay here? Not that I thought somebody was going to hurt them, but I didn't want them to feel like a total outcast, being, especially like when it came to school. I just didn't want them to feel too different, or like they didn't belong, or there wasn't other ones like them there. And it was Dexter rallied around those boys. They loved on them. They were great. Such a great community, friends and family. I mean, it was never an issue. When I it was a older generation who would kind of go, they kind of stare a little bit when I see this white girl carrying in a brown baby and a black baby. And they were like, okay, what's all this? They were trying to, in their, they weren't meaning to, but just in their heads and their faces, they were like, okay, what's her story and what's going on? But honestly, not been hard as far as biracial issues. When we go out of town, it's either I get real bad stares or people dote over my kids. So either way, I don't let it affect me like it originally did. But we're 10 years in now, so I've learned how to handle that.
You're good. Yes, I love that you have they have grown up with you, and even though they were in the foster system, that they really got both of you were so lucky in finding each other at such a young age. But you said, McKenna, that you had so much love in your heart to give, and that was one of the reasons why you started foster care. But I think it's so wonderful that your story doesn't just stop there, because you went a step further and said, I have so much love for these two beautiful boys that I'm bringing into my home and loving them. But then you decided that you were going to bring in a foreign exchange student from Spain. And so I love that story as well. So can you tell us about Sophia and how she came into your life?
Yeah, I'd love to. So a gal from our church decided she took a job being the local coordinator for the foreign exchange program here, as far as like placing the students locally. And so I had seen a post that she had made on Facebook, and I just happened to comment and I said, "Oh, this is such a great thing." We had a Japanese exchange student that lived with me and my family when we were in high school, and it was so cool. I mean, I think it was cool. It was definitely interesting. But it was a neat experience. And I thought, you know what? That's so cool that the gal from our church is doing that. And then she commented, or somebody else commented, I think it was my mom. She said, "McKenna, I think you need to do a student or two." And I'm like, "Lord, what am I do? Stick one in the laundry room and take, I mean, I don't have enough space for 15 kids to live here." And so anyway, right after that, this girl sent me a message and she's like, "Hey, I actually was thinking about sending you a message anyway. Is this something you might be interested in?" And I said, "Well, tell me more about it. What's the requirement? What's this? What's that? Can I do it as a single person?" And she said, "Absolutely." And so, in a matter, let's see, she sent me the information. She sent me three students to pick from. When I read over Sophia's profile, there's no pictures of her or anything, it's just what they had wrote out. I felt such a drawing to her information when I was reading it. I was like, I don't know what it is about this girl. And I really wanted this Italian girl because I thought, hey, if I make friends with these people and their families, then we'll have a place to go travel because I love traveling. And then I read about, and I love Italy. Italy is one of my favorite places to visit. And so I was reading more and I was like, oh, she has a single dad being raised by a single dad. That might not look good if I went and stayed with their family. So I was like, moving on. So I kept reading. When I got to Sophia's, I read over it and I was like, oh, I felt something in my heart. I was like, I think this is the one. I think I'm supposed to. So I messaged the girl and I said, hey, I would really like to see about getting Sophia. And so it was, I feel like it was like a week later, if that, I was having a video chat with Sophia. They accepted me as a family. I accepted her as a family. And in less than a month, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, she was here. I was picking her up from the airport. And so yeah, she was with me for 10 months and she just went home this week on Tuesday. We are so sad, but so grateful for the opportunity that we had. She has been amazing. Been
Me,
so
because
amazing.
you brought Sophia into your home and she was part of your family, but there was something very amazing that happened during this time because she got the Holy Ghost. She didn't just come as an
Yes.
exchange student. Like, you put something in her, and she left on that plane earlier this week having an understanding of who God is. So tell us
Yes.
about that.
So we had our Southeast Missouri camp meeting in March, and I think it was probably, so that's a Thursday, Friday. And so it was either Tuesday or Wednesday that week. I was just praying and I was like, God, she goes back in just a couple months and I feel like I have failed miserably. She hasn't asked to be baptized. She hasn't gotten the Holy Ghost. She hasn't done this. You know, maybe I haven't said it in just the right way, or I haven't presented it to her in just the right way. And I'm like, I knew that I felt a draw to have her come. God, help me do what you want, you know, in her and through her before she leaves. Just help me, Jesus, because I can't do it. And so I didn't want to force anything on her because that's not my personality. I wanted to present her the information. I wanted to love on her. I wanted to just show her what all we had and what she could have. And so anyway, I had prayed that Tuesday or Wednesday, and then we went to camp meeting on Thursday night. And at the end, I can't remember who was preaching now, but he asked them, you know, everybody to come to the front, or he called out specific what it was. Sophia went to the front, and I hadn't seen her really. I mean, she'd step out with the youth girls at church and, you know, clap her hands, raise her hands, but never like raise her hands and cry and pray. She raised her hand. She was crying and praying. So we just were surrounding her. We were loving on her. We were praying with her. Like, I was like, oh my Lord, please, would this not be amazing? And then she was just, oh, just tears flowing. And she was crying. And the next thing I know, Brother Zenobia, who is a missionary in Spain, I have never seen him at the Missouri District Conference before camp meeting. He came over. He laid his hands on her and started praying for her. And the next thing I know, he says, that is not Spanish and that is not English. She is speaking in tongues. And oh my Lord, everybody was just, it was
Wow.
amazing. It was the most beautiful moment I think I have experienced in a very, very long time. So I was like, thank you, God, you heard my prayer. And you did. I knew that there was something more for her. And that just, I shouldn't say it blows my mind, but God is so good.
I get chills
And to
just hearing you
add
talk
to
about it.
that,
I'm just like, wow, what an amazing story.
yeah. Well, and to add to that, I don't know if you had seen my post a couple weeks ago about, so she's going back, and everywhere we've looked, there's not been a church anywhere near her that we can find an apostolic church. And so every time I would see one, or Sister Betty Parkey from my church would send me information about another missionary, I would say, hey, is this anywhere near you? And she goes, oh, no, that's like 3 hours away, or that's 8 hours away, or whatever. And I was like, I was kind of getting a little defeated there and discouraged. And then Sister Parkey's grandson, who preached at our church just a couple weeks before, they are now going to do AIM work in Madrid, which is 10 minutes from Sophia's school. So she is so excited. It's within an hour from her house. And she said, if there's any chance that they need someone to translate, or if they need help with anything, give them our numbers. Even her parents have reached out. Her parents are really hungry. They are another denomination, but her parents are so hungry. They, when I've told them about Sophia getting the Holy Ghost, I was nervous because I was like, are they going to think that we're pushing all this on her? Do they even know what it is? Are we creepy to them? Are we cuckoo? You know, what is this that y'all are doing to my daughter in the United States? And the response was so beautiful from her parents. She said, you know, I'm crying tears of joy. She said, we have tried and tried to speak in tongues, but we can't do it. And I wanted to just tell her, not yet, because I believe that her whole family is going to be saved from Sophia being here, and not just being here, but just my church, Cornerstone Tabernacle, loved on that girl and prayed with her and did all the things to make her feel welcome here and to just show the love of God, that there's no doubt in my mind that her family is going to be saved. So I can almost jump right now just thinking about it all, because God worked it all out. There's no doubt in my mind, no
That is such a beautiful story. Like I was saying earlier, I'm like I'm getting
doubt.
chills just thinking about what God has done. But think about it, I'm just thinking that McKenna, it was a God suddenly moment, and following the Spirit and what God kind of placed in your heart, and now you have sent this beautiful young lady back. And I think it's crazy, and I'm not crazy, but totally a God thing that Brother Zenobia, who is from Spain, would be the person,
Right.
missionary, that would be praying with her when she got the Holy Ghost and all of those confirmations. And then I know Zane Parkey, I know him personally as he went to Urshan, but I just think like how incredible that they are also going and they will be so close to her, and now her whole family that's been wanting to speak in tongues, like wow, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
But I love that you have done all of this and just thought, you know what, I my heart will just explode with all the love that I have to give, and then giving that to this young lady. But also, you said your family was also had a host of Japanese students, so that's a great something that
Yeah,
your
we
parents
did.
instilled in you, and then you have also taken as well. So I wanted to kind of just come around and talk again. So you are the mother of the two boys. I mean, you've had these two boys for so long, and you have a full-time job, and you're involved in ministry. I know you do singles ministry, involved in a lot of that kind of stuff with Missouri District. And how do you balance all of that as a single parent, and then hosting an exchange student on top of all of that? You know, a lot of balls in the
Yeah.
air, juggling act, but you have been able to do that. So tell me, what are some of the secrets? How do you balance all of those things?
Lots of coffee and prayer and a schedule. I live by a schedule, and honestly, other than the help of the Lord, I don't know how I do it and how I keep going, because I think I must have the Energizer Bunny battery, because I go and go and go, and people are like, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, is this not normal? And so I'm just, that's just, it's my normal. My mom is probably the one who I get all that from, because she is a caregiver, just naturally, and she's always doing something for somebody. She does not stop until her so she sits down at night. We'll just put it that way. So I got a good training.
So you got lots of coffee, lots of Jesus, lots of schedule making, and just keep going. So I love that. So I wanted to ask, what advice would you give to someone who is a single parent? So I'll go in that and talk about other kinds of things for singles, but as a single parent, what is the thing that you would want other single parents to know?
One thing that single parents think is that they have to prove that they can do it all themselves. Let people help you. It doesn't mean that you're any less of a parent. A lot of families have two people doing the job that you're doing. And so I would just say let people help you, and then don't worry about your pride. Pride is, give yourself a break. You can't have a break if you're constantly pouring into your kids. And if you just, I'm telling you, going to the grocery store by myself is amazing. So I'm like, my neighbor is my best friend, so that works out perfect. I'm like, hey, I'm sending the boys over. I got to go to the grocery store. Or, hey, I'm going to go do this or that. And anyway, it's great. So let people help you.
Ask for help and let people help you. That is great advice.
Yeah.
And don't let pride get in the way. That's really good. Let people help you.
Yeah.
So, what would you say about someone, especially who is a single person who's thinking of adopting? Because lots of people don't know that, probably thought what you thought of like, are they going to let me adopt? Or are they going to let me foster? But stepping into that role as a single parent and adopting kids, what advice would you give somebody who's single and thinking of adopting?
Just like I was, I am a natural caregiver, and I love to love. And I know a lot of single people want to love anybody. So why not love on these kids that don't have anybody doing that for them? I don't know. It's a beautiful blessing to get to be a mom. If I just do it, make sure that you've got the finances to do it. The kids don't have to have the best of everything. We shop at Goodwill. I find that stuff at Goodwill, but we shop at Goodwill and don't have to pay the prices. You can still do the things. And I have learned that my kids don't have to have a big elaborate anything. As long as we're doing stuff together and doing it fun and I'm present, that's all it's about. You don't have to have all this money to be able to support, a big family. Start with one kid, then go up from there, get comfortable with that, get used to that. It will change your life. And some days you might be like, oh my Lord, what was I thinking? But I mean, of course, pray about it. Make sure that it's what you need to do, and make sure that you have people who are going to help you and support you. That is huge, because if you go into this thing and then you, it's, I don't mean this ugly, but it's not anybody else's problem. I don't, that sounds really ugly, but make sure that if nobody can help you, that you're still capable of taking care of this child on your own. Just be wise.
Absolutely. That's really good. So also, I wanted to ask anyone who is considering bringing a foreign exchange student into their home, what would you tell them? It was a wonderful thing that you got to bring Sophia and got her back on that plane to Spain after 10 months. But if somebody is feeling hesitant and again, didn't know that they could host somebody as a single person, what advice would you give them?
Well, actually don't feel that I'm supposed to do it for this next school year. If the Lord changes my mind, then I'll do it. And it wasn't because I didn't have a wonderful time with Sophia. That was life-changing for me, and I know it was life-changing for her. You get to share your faith with people. You get to be immersed in different cultures and explain things and hear their stories. And then, and really, you get to be a home missionary by doing this, because she's come here and living in my home. And so I just joke around and say I'm a home missionary now. Yeah. So do it. It's amazing. We were so fortunate with Sophia. She was an incredible student. So we loved having her.
I love it. Be a home missionary. That's good. It's so
Yeah.
good. Bring the world to you. So as we're closing our episode of Navigating Solo, what would you like to share that we haven't already shared with our listeners? Because I know there's so many things that you can say and so many parts of your testimony that I know that we haven't mentioned, but what would you like to say to our singles who are listening?
After my divorce, one thing, because of the nature of my divorce, it was a little hairy. People didn't know what to say to me. My ex-husband chose an alternative lifestyle that wasn't conducive to our faith. People didn't know how to respond. They didn't know what to say, how to say, and the things they did say was all the wrong things to say. And so, because I didn't want to deal with all those people saying all those things, trying to encourage me and doing all the weird stuff, I had to be okay. In my mind, I felt like I had to be okay for all of them so fast, so they'd stop with the questions. I was never allowed to grieve the loss of my marriage because I had to be okay for everyone else but myself. So it took me years later and God bringing someone into my life who got down into the deep, muddy parts and started taking, that thick wall down brick by brick, piece by piece, really helping me understand that it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to not be okay sometimes. And it's okay to cry. I was a tough one. I no emotions, not happening. I am too tough for this. I am single. I am prideful. I don't need nobody. I had that attitude for a little while until God helped me and brought her into my life. And she has helped me tremendously over the last few years. And now I have gone through the process of grieving. And I'm telling you, I am in a much better place than I was even just a couple years ago. I now feel a tenderness and a sympathy and an empathy towards other people who are going through things versus suck it up. I mean, come on, really, is that the worst thing that could happen? I mean, my attitude has changed and I've been able to help people because I am more sensitive now, if that makes any sense. And another thing is, people ask me all the time, how in the world do you do what you do? You're just here, you're there, you're everywhere, you're doing this, you're doing that. I just say, have confidence. And they're like, oh, you have all the confidence in the world. I do not. I just fake it till I make it. I am just like, hey, I want to do this. What just hindereth me, So I just do it. And so just have confidence in yourself and figure it out along the way. We're single. That's a life that we weren't totally prepared for. So let's figure it out. Let's do things. Let's not step back because I would have missed out on a whole lot of opportunities. I wouldn't have been a mother, for one.
Right.
I wouldn't have been a part of Sophia's testimony of getting the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's so many things that I wouldn't have been able to be a part of singles ministry had I not walked this path, So just be confident, even if you can't 100% feel it yet. Just walk in it that you're confident and just do the things, go the places, be all that you can be.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is so great, McKenna. I love all the things that you have said. And I know that those of you that are listening are definitely going to be encouraged by her testimony, but just go for it. Just do it and be confident. That's great. Be confident. I love that. And be confident in the Lord. You can do it. You can do it. So I love that attitude. So thank you again for being our guest, McKenna. It's been my honor to be with you today and to listen to your testimony and all the things that you have shared. And so, to all of our Navigating Solo listeners, until next time, God bless.